give yourself permission to expand. Hello, loves. Welcome to this month's episode of Our Naked Truths, The Communion. Wherever you are, we invite you to join us. Perhaps pour yourself some tea. We're currently drinking our special ONT blend created to enhance relaxation, meditation and self-love by our trusted and loved sponsor, Mutulu Botanica. Check out their offerings on their website at www.mutulubotanica.com. Okay, let's go.
I vow to exist without fear, shame or guilt. Daring to love myself with nothing to prove. You're listening to Our Naked Truths, The Communion, sharing our stories of self-love and acceptance. So, be still, be present, and let's begin.
Okay, The Communion 2. Enjoyment, excitement awaits. Why? Because we have the Chloe Bailey, original dry babe, founder of the Queer and Black Book Club Ochre and the storytelling platform Prim, community anchor, writer, king of all the things, and overall sweet babe. Please give her a round of applause in the studio. Woo!
Woo, woo, woo.
Hey, babes.
Hello.
Welcome. How are we feeling?
I'm feeling really good. I really appreciated that introduction.
Well, I mean...
Honestly.
I mean, I tried my hardest to see if I can come up with something that will fit your overall greatness. I think it skimmed a level, but we try.
No,
you know?
I was feeling it. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
It.
Thank you so much for coming. It's always so nice to see your face. You had a session with us, what, almost 2 years ago now?
It is a while,
it's mad, isn't it?
It's really mad. Crazy.
So your session was being attuned to your purpose.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that session and why you chose that as your theme?
Being attuned to my purpose, I think during that time, I was thinking a lot about what I should be doing and where I want to be going, how I want to be channeling my energy and what I want to start contributing to my world, my community, to my fam. And so I think that was very much a process that I was going through. And being on Our Naked Truths was great because that felt like, okay, we're ready. Mm-hmm. Like, we're ready to begin doing this. Mm-hmm. And, like, since that time, there's been so many changes that I've made to, like, my work professionally, what I've been doing as a creative individual, all different bits and bobs that I was not doing at that time, and I was frustrated that I wanted to do stuff. So it was that, but it was also about looking back in the past and when I'd made that change before, because it's not the first time I've done it. I have that, like, I think every couple of years I have that, like, all right, this is transition time. So yeah, it was like remembering when that happened before that time, and what were the triggering points for that, and what I began doing to create that change for myself.
Amazing. So it's like a catalyst of many things, but things that are already inside of you that you're waiting to ignite. So it's almost like you set the theme and was like, actually, is this actually how I'm living?
Yeah.
How does my life align to this theme that I'm setting?
Yeah.
And then you made the steps to do so.
Absolutely. But also that's the evolution.
I hear you. I hear you.
We're constantly, like, growing and building and changing, both in, like, our minds, our bodies, like, everything that we hold, like, as important. Absolutely. And the things that I thought were really important when I was, like, 16, 17, 20, 21 are so different to now. You have to have that, like, it's like descaling or shedding or something, and coming out a bit new, a bit fresh.
For sure. I believe in rebirths.
Yeah.
And cycles. I feel like everybody has, like, their cycle. Not everyone knows that. Some people it's 10 years, it might be every 4 years. Some people it's yearly.
Yeah.
You know, some people it might even be a couple months. might even be a couple months. But I think shedding is very important, and it usually happens at poignant times where your spirit and your life is calling for real change, yeah. something that you really need. Mm-hmm. And I feel like rebirth helps us get closer to what our vocation or purpose is
yeah.
and make sure that what we're doing is intentional
mm-hmm.
and purposeful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. You know,
it's really important.
Yeah.
And that may take time. Each cycle might get you closer and closer to what that purpose is,
yeah.
you know, or what that intention is. But as long as it's happening. Of shedding course. Is so important.
It is.
Go you in your shedding yeah. process. Wow.
It's useful. Useful as hell. Like for me, it's required.
What you just said inspired another question.
Mm.
Because I think after that session, you realised actually in terms of this shedding that I need to do, there's a new Chloe that needs to emerge and there's certain things that I need to do to feel like what I'm doing is purposeful.
Mm.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about some of those things that you're doing? So you've got amazing projects under your belt. Like there's a reason why we call you community anchor. There is a reason.
Seems really mad. Like it's crazy, but actually yesterday my little sister messaged me. Shout out Brits, my hey. G. And she messaged me and was just like how her friends were really upset at her because she hadn't told them about all the things I did. Like she didn't tell them about my book club and didn't tell them about my DJing and that, you know, I'm an activist and I've done talks in different places and they were upset basically because she hadn't said it and she was just like she didn't know that you lot wanted to know this and it was just like anyway she said that her friends were just like tell your sister that we think she's amazing and we want to be like her when we grow up and I was just like y'all are like literally heartstrings, that's so cute. But I think for me what struck me was the fact that she called me an activist and I feel like yeah. I go up and down with that word in a way sometimes because I feel like for me activism is a lot more purposeful than what I'm necessarily doing. But at the same time, I get it because I'm still doing a lot more activity or far more active in what I'm saying and what I'm doing than a lot of other people who couldn't confidently like be queer or couldn't confidently like be black and talk about how black is so important and so amazing and really create a space that just focuses solely on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's kind of like the activism part of it. And I think that probably is like when I think of activism, when I first started understanding like the work that people do, particularly in black communities around equality, that's what it was. It wasn't about the socials. It was about what they were creating and how they were creating spaces mm-hmm. and how they were galvanizing people, even just bringing communities together.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt interesting to feel like I'm actually perhaps in that. I'm in that in some way, which is really quite, it's nice. It's good. And I think it's just a reminder of how important each of us are, but also how important all the people who come to any event that I put on are to that.
In terms of you kind of not feeling like you could even take the title of being an activist because you're associating it with some of our greats, I guess, who are still creating tangible, sustainable change on the ground.
Absolutely.
But again, it looks different now. I mean, your life doesn't have to be threatened in order for you to be an activist.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's also what makes it feel uncomfortable, kind of wearing a title where, you know, people have literally lost their lives to do this, to create the change that we need. But actually, activism is something that we can all do in our day to day.
Yeah.
And you're doing that wholeheartedly in the projects that you do. So, I mean, you kind of, again, doing modest, you just kind of brush past some of those things. You want to tell everyone kind of what some of those projects are?
It's true. The actual question to begin with was, so things that I do. So for one, just as part of like, I guess, I include this because it's part of my daily bread, but also I think that what I do in my day job is still really quite important to a lot of people in the community in that area. So I work as general manager at Peckham Levels, which was a like 30-year-old multi-story car park, which was turned into an events venue and co-working space. And the main premise for Peckham Levels in terms of the co-working space is that only individuals who are within a certain borough can have space in there. And it's, you know, a really good rate, but the whole point of it is to support community, the local community of entrepreneurs that are there, people who are creating like spaces, like a whole host of different things, which I find really, really important. So that's Peckham Levels, isn't it? Shout out to you, man. And otherwise I run Prim, and Prim is a digital storytelling platform. And that, like, Prim itself is not launched just yet because it is going to be an online-based subscription service, which is literally focused around storytelling. So anything from narrative podcasts to mini documentaries to being able to have an author's catalogue and see every author from every country
Amazing.
Specifically focused on African, Caribbean and Afro-Latinx countries, because the main point of that is I just feel like it's very difficult sometimes to know all the authors that exist that are of Black ancestry. Mm-hmm, and that mm-hmm. just annoys me, because there are hundreds of thousands and really good, amazing work. There's new people coming up every single time mm-hmm. who are making amazing work. And just the stories and the variety of ways that we share our stories is so important. So I really wanted to try and bring that into like one platform where you can just access it all the time, anytime. So it's like a Spotify for books, but
yeah,
it takes a while obviously to build, and I've been doing it now for about a year and a bit, and the hope is that we'll be able to like launch it properly soon, so it's accessible and in use. But as part of that, and just as part of like trying to build that and build the base and really sort of understand what it is that my community actually want from a storytelling platform, potentially, like what is it that we really need, what do we want to discuss, like I started Ocker, which is the Queer and Black Book Club, and that is literally, it's queer because I'm a gay. And
are you the gay?
I'm a gay.
You the gay?
I am a gay. It's Black obviously because I'm Black, and it's really just an opportunity to come together in a physical space and talk about books, talk about storytelling, talk about what you've enjoyed. So we select the read, and you come having read the book or part read it. Mm. I have gone to many a book club that I have literally put on and I have not read the book. So you are still welcome to come if you haven't read the book, because sometimes reading be hard, like it's long. Mm. And I think that even if you don't read something specifically, there is still so much you can take from that conversation.
Absolutely.
You can take so much from being in that space amongst people who have read this book and can just tell you a bit about the story. You might get the spoilers, but that's the risk you take. But what I try and do as well is to ensure that it's not just a space for only people who have read the book, is bring in other elements of storytelling. So mm-hmm. one part of that is an exhibition. So we'll always have an exhibition by usually a queer Black person, fam, which goes really, really well. And that really serves as a bit of a way to platform them, but also provide another aspect to storytelling, because it's not just about reading.
Mm.
It's about photography, it's about painting, it's about video, it's, you know, it's oral, it's pretty much everything. And then on top of that, we usually have a question and answer session with an author or a panel of authors, or do a screening. And I think there's ways that we can build on that to make that even broader. But again, it just means that when you come to Ocker, you're not just there to like engage in reading a book. You're also going to be able to listen to something. You're also going to be able to privately enjoy an exhibition. So you're really sort of trying to capture all the elements of how we as individuals and even as Black people consume stories. So those are like the key things in terms of that. The other thing I do is I started DJing in August, which has been going really good. DJ Drybe, Wablo, Wablo, boom,
Wablo.
Boom, boom, boom. So started DJing. That's been going really well. Like getting a couple bookings, you know, like people
right?
really taking me on.
Yeah, you get your paper girl. You go get your paper girl.
So that's good. That's like, I love to dance. You know, I'm your fave shoulders activator. So if you really want a vibe enhancer, book me. I'm ready.
Literally,
I'm down.
Those shoulders get activated and everyone is shut down.
I play all the things, so that's really fun. And also I'm part of the Babes Collective, mm-hmm. which is great. My homies, my fam, and we've got a lot of like really great things coming up. And yeah, I mean, that's just amazing to be part of a collective of so many people who are just doing like legit bomb ass things mm-hmm. in their separate areas mm-hmm. every day, every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's mad. It's fantastic.
It's quite immersive.
It's
quite amazing.
Really, yeah.
It's also like, but babes, do you sleep?
Why you always do this?
Does sleep find you?
I do. I think, you know, a solid 7 hours usually. Sometimes it's a 5 hour here and there.
I'm
you
impressed.
Know? But I try and make it work. I'm a Cancer, so we need that rest. Otherwise,
you really do. Otherwise
we hella cranky.
Still.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I ain't trying still. To talk to no one about nothing. Don't message me. Everyone gets ignored. Like, my phone, I like my friends always say, you always like put your phone on silent and turn it over. I was like, yeah, because I don't know why they're calling me. I can't imagine what the discussion could be.
Oops.
I know. I'm actually the worst. But yeah, I do find time to sleep, but I think there's always room for more rest.
Mm.
But also I'm like, I have energy and ability right now and it feels okay and fine for me. So I can be active.
Absolutely.
And at the point where I feel like I can't be active anymore.
Then you'll stop.
I'll cross that bridge. Yeah. Mm. But for now, like,
I think it's okay to be super multifaceted, and it's so beautiful to see so many people now being multifaceted, but also owning that and actually allowing their skills to speak for themselves and expressing them and entrepreneurship and doing things, which is amazing. We also are in a space where it's really easy for people to get caught up on saying the word I'm busy, because it sounds cool and you need to be seeing doing things at all times. But as well as that, it's actually quite important to nourish and sustain yourself.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Babes, if you're getting your 7 hours and that's sustaining you, all good, babes.
We good. If I sleep more than that, I've overslept and then I'm not waking up. There's a real fine line. It's so crazy. It's dumb.
There's a fine line to being super proactive. Listen, and then I'm just going to be a slopper today.
The life of a crab.
Thanks for that, babe. Okay, so we've kind of covered a fair bit already, which I love, but I'm going to ask you another question because that's what I do.
Yeah.
So you've talked a lot about kind of your activism and your work, and what comes out to me a lot is community.
Mm.
So what does community mean to you?
What does community mean to me? Community for me is just like, it's so much. I think part of the reason why I actually started Okka as well is because I was having a conversation with my pal Sade, and she was like, we need to have like more community building outside the club.
Mm.
And it just really like, it resonated with me so much, because I think I really enjoy partying, like I love it. And I think a lot of the people that I've met and built, people that I know, particularly in the community, it's come through that that engagement of being in queer spaces and enjoying music and dance and people around you. And it feels nice and it's warming when you can go out and you've had a really good night, but also had really amazing conversations.
Mm.
But also surrounding that is, you know, what comes with being in the party and in the party scene, which is, you know, obviously the drinking and things like that, which are not bad. But at the same time, there are other ways that you can also engage that doesn't revolve around that. How do we make that transition? How do we provide spaces as well for people who don't like to party? Because I know a hell of a lot of people that don't want to party. Like, I'm the person that people message if they want to party. Like, they don't normally party and they'll be like, let's holler at Chloe in it, because Chloe will know what's up. And that's true. But if you are someone who doesn't like to party but still wants to engage and have a community of queer Black people around you, what do you do? So, I mean, there's a bunch of things, but there aren't things that are as regular. And so what I really wanted to do was create something that was regular, where people could meet fellow queers, you know, find your honey, find your friend, find your family, and be able to really have those same conversations that you might have in the club, but in a completely mostly sober setting.
Yeah.
In a setting where you're already engaged in something and have a real like topic of conversation. And storytelling is just so natural for that to be the thing. We're constantly sharing stories about ourselves, about our lives, about what we've read, or what we've engaged with in some capacity. So it seemed normal. But for me, anyway, community is literally like, without it, I don't know how much of myself would truly exist. Like, I don't know how happy I would be. I don't know how fulfilled I would be. I don't know how inspired I would be. I think, given that we live in a country that is, for, you know, most part, that pretty bland, and if I'm just going to be putting it out there completely, without my specific Black community, my fellow Niger Bays, my Caribs, the Afro-Latins and that,
got no Ghanaians now. Safe, it's cool.
Sorry, I said what I said.
Heard. It's cool.
Everyone, like without
you can't now add that in. Everyone. Now everyone is welcome. But you couldn't shout out your Ghanaian babes. It's all right.
Without
it's okay. Everyone is
like,
okay.
Like, man. I'm stressed. Without
you're gonna fling out the Ghana must go back.
All my
I see
people,
where it's going. It's
I
all right.
Do that.
But we're talking about community.
Without all my people, them of Black ancestry, I think that it would be very difficult to function in the UK as a Black queer person and also be fulfilled and happy. Mm-hmm. So that is why the community is super, super necessary. And I think also us contributing to that community, to building it, to creating a legacy for it, to ensuring that it thrives mm-hmm. and is long lasting, we have to be doing something. We have to be doing stuff.
Absolutely.
You know? So, yeah.
Thank you for all the stuff that you do. Thank you. So, next question.
Mm.
How does storytelling inform your acceptance journey? It sounds quite fundamental in lots of different ways.
It's mad.
Mm.
I feel like when I just think back to like the life that I exist, like my parents were not from here. They came here when they were probably a little bit younger than me.
Mm.
And I'm born here in the UK. And my accent, my manner, everything that I know about myself and how I behave means that I wouldn't really survive in Nigeria. however, my understanding of the culture of like my family and of my part of Nigeria literally comes from the stories that I've been told by my parents.
Mm.
And specifically my mum and my grandma. And so that like orally being told and introduced to like what our lives are like or what our heritage is like meant that I just had a real understanding of self and like who I was. I learned like how much like my granddad on my mum's side I am, who is like a real deal activist, to the point where he was in hiding for 5 years because he'd written some stuff about a then very militant government. So even understanding that about my granddad, I was just like, rah, like, and I'm not going to be able to read any of his stuff anywhere. Everything that he's written, it's like, it's all gone. Like, so I can only know that from the stories that I've been told. But, and that engagement makes me feel like I understand a part of myself. I understand a part of my country that is also like really dark, but also the level of love that I have for it because of the creativity, like bronze work that they've done in like, I'm from Edo State, blip, blip. And in my part of town, like sculpting and literally artifacts and stuff that's made and now sits in museums around the world that's been taken from there comes from my side of town, which I think is important. And I'm not trying to be like hella like holding on to like, oh, I'm Nigerian and this is what we've done, this is what we've done. It's not that. It's just more like it just gives you a bit of a perspective about what your why your mannerisms are the way they are, why you might think the way you do, and just knowing a bit about yourself, like from like my complexion to where like my creative focus is and why, and all these other little things that just contribute to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like stories is the only way that I know that. And I think for most people, the only way you know certain things, particularly about people that you've never met or didn't really meet or a time that you weren't here, is purely through people telling you about it. So whether they're lying or not, you don't know. But like if someone didn't tell you that, if that story wasn't passed down orally, particularly for the Black community where scores of things are just destroyed and doesn't exist. And the white people, they've got a lot of stuff that's like, you know, written down and
archived,
et cetera, et cetera. For a lot of us, we don't have that. And so the only way you get it is through talking to, you know, people in your family, in your community, people who lived in those areas or who lived at that time. And it's just all oral. And I think that it's just, I really love that about that. But I think that we kind of also want to get to a point where it starts to be held somewhere where you can really archive it so you can refer to it.
Sure.
Yeah, so you can, yeah, exactly. And yeah, so I just feel like that has always just had a massive impact on me. My mum loves to talk, so she's always telling one story or another, good or bad, doesn't matter. She's always telling stories. I don't know if she knows that she's a storyteller, but she really is. But everything, when I deep it now, as an old person, I start to really understand how critical and how valuable it has been to me. And that is, that's incredible to even come to that realisation. I think that literally, I mean, you know, so as you get older, you start to like think about things a bit more. It's literally right. That.
So who am I again?
Yeah.
Why am I this way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that time of consciousness. Like trying to understand, like, why the hell do I do certain things? Mm-hmm. Because this is all really strange now. But yeah.
Beautiful. Just make, as you were speaking, It's quite interesting because storytelling is actually really important, especially when it comes to history and our history. And to know that your grandfather was a pen activist, and to not be able to have access to any of his literary works, but be able to hear that from family members, hear how kind of he suffered to an extent, but also how he was able to radically write something regardless of what was happening in Nigeria in order to ensure that a message got out. That's really powerful. And then to see how that trickles down and informs your journey with family members, with culture, and also just how we tell stories in general. Like, we have a culture of griots.
Yeah.
You know, before we were documenting things, we literally had people, and their role was to go around and share stories about what would be happening in the community and in the village. That was their job, you know. And now we don't really have many of those griots anymore. But those griots, like, the role has changed.
It's different.
You know, and I feel like, as you're talking and you're sharing your story of how storytelling informs your journey, I see you as a griot, just a millennial griot, you know, that you're using your resources now to ensure that things are documented, archived, there are spaces where these stories can be told, shared, seen, heard, and hopefully ricochet and permeate other generations to come, you know?
Absolutely.
Ooh, thank you. Ooh, this is so juicy. It's
crazy.
It's juicy.
Yeah.
This month, ONT loves the incredible Alexandra L.
So, Alexandra L is someone that I've been in love with, basically, for about 5 years. This woman has really been doing the work. I fully appreciate everything that they're giving to the universe. And just to kind of highlight some of this incredible person's work, Alexandra L is an author and wellness consultant living in Washington, D.C. She's a mother with two children and a husband. And writing came into her life by way of therapy and the exploration of healing through journaling. She teaches workshops. She hosts retreats, all centered around assisting others in finding their voices through storytelling, poetry, and narrative writing rooted in truth without shame. And her mission is to build community and self-care practices through literature and language. Now, this woman also has incredible books available on Amazon and also on her website at www.alexl.com. She has Words from a Wanderer, Love in My Language, which is one of my favourite books ever, and Neon Soul, as well as hashtag A Note to Self, which is a meditation journal, and Growing in Gratitude, which is another gratitude journal that you can purchase online, and 150 Days of Giving Thanks. She has recently released a new journal called Today I Affirm, a journal that nurtures self-care. Now, the reason why I want Alexandra L to just collect all of her flowers, because not only is she willing to share her practice with us, she's teaching us and supporting our own healing through advocating what she knows, which is her own journey, sharing her trauma, sharing her lessons, and also sharing her process of learning how to celebrate herself. The book Love in My Language is one of my favorites because not only does she share like notes and poems to herself around different themes in her journey, around gratitude, around shame, around her father issues, but also gives us kind of sections where we can sit back and reflect on what we identify with our themes and write down, what do we connect with? What lessons have we learned? What practical things do we need to do? In addition to all of her great things and all of the flowers that she deserves, not only does she do all of this work, she still takes time online on her Instagram page, which is at Alex_LELLE. If you follow her, put those notifications on right now. She takes time to write out these gentle reminders. And for some reason, this week, every single gentle reminder that she has posted have been dragging me. But I thought I'd share one with you all and see if you connect with it. It's a really poignant statement. And as we're walking in to 2020 and we're thinking about how we're going to be manifesting our affirmations, our dreams, our goals, how we're going to be manifesting real tools in our self-care, and how we're going to be switching things up in order for us to be the best person we can be, I think this is quite a poignant statement to share with you all. Give yourself permission to expand. You don't have to shrink to fit into the lives or hearts of others. Be courageous in your ability to outgrow what is keeping you stuck. All of the things. And so I guess for me, when reading that, quite a few things come up. But one thing that I will share with you is being able to trust my process and allow myself to make the changes I need to in order to grow. So whether that's through boundary setting, whether that's through doing some real work around negative thought pattern and also owning my own toxicity to create space for growth. So with that, because Alexandra L is incredible and given us all the things just in that one statement, I'd like you to think about, what are you going to do? How are you going to give yourself permission to expand in 2020? So now we're going to join our incredible guest again. I say this word incredible because I'm so blessed to know and be around and learn and research and observe so many incredible humans. I will switch that word up again maybe. But for now, we're going to join the incredible Chloe Bailey Obazi. When do you feel the most accepting of yourself?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm. What a question. Mm. When do I feel most accepting of myself? To be fair, I think as an individual, I am probably like, I always just feel like I'm fantastic a lot of the time. I know that might sound like super like big-headed or arrogant, but I do feel that I'm happy with what and who I am. I'm happy with the position that I'm in and what I've been able to do with myself, and just how I navigate this world. But I think probably the most is definitely when I wake up in the morning. So if I wake up in the morning, just the idea that I've woken up again, for me, always just feels really incredible. Even if I'm tired, if I'm not, but sometimes I'll literally wake up and just having like good weather and like the sun coming through, or even just the light of day, when I get up, it just makes me feel like, yo, like you are here and you're able. And there are so many other ways I could exist in this world, but I exist as I do now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really, really good position. And I just feel really thankful for that. Particularly like just because I just, when you, I've just seen so much in my life and even like my family and my siblings and where like everyone is and in the different places, I just know that to be able to be here and be free and be out completely and just be able to like exercise who you are without many inhibitions,
yeah,
just feels really, really good.
Yeah.
And I think that I probably reflect on that most at the beginning of a day.
So how do you use your artistic expression or the work that you do as the millennial grew up? I'm literally just giving you that name. To heal.
To heal.
Mm.
I think I definitely spoke about this actually at my Naked Truth session. And one of the ways in which I heal, particularly like if I'm mad about something or maybe like someone's upset me, I will literally like write a short story of how I would have responded to them.
Really? Oh yeah,
it's
you
really
did share
crazy.
This.
Do you remember
you
like...
did share this? Yeah.
And I think
I found it amazing. It's kind of like secretly passive.
Yeah. Like,
but
and
quite
yeah,
an interesting way of like channeling your frustration.
Yeah, it's really
tell
mad.
Tell us more.
It's because I'm a bit of a wuss and like genuinely, I don't like
confrontation
very much. I don't like that like challenge and that battle. So like sometimes, particularly if someone that I really care about and really loves upsets me, I can't have that like head-on-head battle at that time. I need to go away and think about it. If it's like some next person in the street, bro, we on, what's up, pull up. But when it's like fam or someone I care about, I'm very, very mindful of what words are and like how, if I say something, because I can be sharp, if I say something, I cannot pull that back. I can't. And I don't ever want to say something that's going to create a feeling for someone that I cannot remove because I've said it. Like I've said this thing or I've done this thing and you cannot change it. So the best thing for me is to just be quiet. Let you be doing your mad thing and then I will go home
write a story
and when I'm
about
at home,
you.
I will write all the things I wanted to say to you. And sometimes it's passive. Sometimes yeah. it's really like rageful.
And
I might be cussing them out. Like for real. Like when I read back on these things, I'm just like, yo, you're even mad. But like, I might write all down and sometimes it's, you know, A4 page, bro, because I can, and also like, I deep things and things really sit with me for a long time. But at the same time, if that person came and really apologized, bruv, it's like, it's gone. So like, you know, I can really hold it, but I'm very, very quick to just say, all right, cool, allow it. It's all right. I still love you anyway. So, you know, but I feel like just having that, sometimes when you can't do that, you can't have that conversation. And I know I'm not going to be able to speak to them about it or really talk about my feelings, or I just can't. I will go and start writing essays in my notes, you know.
No, but you know what, as we, you know, it's all fun and games and we giggle, oh, sounds passive, etc., but actually it's a really mindful practice to know that, okay, I'm gonna be really aware of how this person is making me feel right now, to the point where I'm gonna control it. So I'm gonna control how I react in the moment, which is very difficult for a lot of people to do, especially if someone has triggered you. It's quite hard to hone in your emotional response.
To
be like, okay, I'm going to hone in my emotional response. I'm not going to react, but I have a tool at home that I know I can go home and use, where I can write down how I feel, whether it's a story to that person, about that person, or just list all the things that they've done to me, all the rageful thoughts that I have about them.
Yeah.
Get that out onto paper. And once I've expelled it, that's where it lives.
Yeah, truly.
And it's no longer, it's almost like it's quite a cathartic process of dealing with issues. Because I think you're not the only one. I think a lot of people, especially people that are either empaths or are quite passionate about the people that they love, ferociously passionate, actually find it quite difficult to have, to meet confrontation or to have real conversations.
Yeah,
you know, we all have our processes, and it's really interesting because it's, I think it also feeds into fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of things ending. It's really fear that stops us from having those conversations with our people. But I think it's quite beautiful that you have your process, and that there is this book that I cannot wait to read. Can you imagine?
One day is great.
The tea.
Like, I'm actually so down to like one day just I just really want to like create a book with just like everything I've ever written, like anything that's like halfway, full way,
that's
like literally whatever it is. Yeah, like,
that's gonna be the title.
Everything I've ever written. And you can just have like a bunch of series where everyone like does that, and then like different coloured books or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just like everything I've ever written by Kay Bailey, everything I've ever written by Jocelyn. And then you just have like different bits and pieces, because I think there's just so much in it, you know. And also you can just see the transition. Like when I look back at things that I wrote years ago, my writing style was pretty same. It's always like kind of like jovial, but also like semi-serious. Like I'm just always trying to have fun in some ways, but the topics are different. And there's that little nip bits where I'm just like, yeah, I was definitely going through something at that time, or feeling a certain way. Like I can almost tell like what my emotion was or what my mindset was at that time.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of writing.
Okay, so one of my love notes to myself was about kindness, and really just about remembering to be kind, even when it might seem a little difficult because people be testing us. But also just to be kind to myself in particular. If I'm feeling certain things, or if I know that I want something that's different to perhaps what other people want or need me to do, being able to be kind to myself in terms of feeling guilt or feeling bad about changing direction, or being completely honest. But also even in that honesty, when you can't do something or don't want to do something, being able to be kind in delivering that specific message. Kindness is something that's so important, and if everyone can employ that as a mantra or as a mode or as a nugget that is in everything that they do, then I think we will really, really see a much better world and place for everyone.
Remember to be kind, Bailey. The driest babe of all.
So, we're now at one of my favourite segments, which is the communion self-care question, where we take a question from the community. This one's come from Erica, and we're going to pose it to both myself and our amazing guest. And the question is, how do you manage the expectations of people you care about when they differ from the expectations you have for yourself? Whoo!
It's a mad one, isn't it?
Mad! So, Chloe, would you like to answer that first?
I think my very first, like, instinctual, I guess, reaction to that is, like, whatever to you and your thoughts. Thank you for thinking. Bye. Like, I've been, I think you knew growing up is very much about managing what people think of you and trying to pander to that. And I think definitely, like, a part of my Our Naked Truth session was talking about doing away with that, and particularly expectations from my parents, because they used to drive me, like, so mad. I got to, like, a boiling point with it, and it just used to make me... You know how someone calls you, just the name alone makes you angry.
Like, you're breathing.
I hate that.
You're here breathing.
Yeah, and I really hated that people were creating that energy from me. So at the moment now, I'm very like, if it doesn't suit and fit with what I want to do for myself, then you are literally the least important person in my world right now, because it doesn't compute. Like, that is real confusion, but you're the one that's confused. Like, I'm cool. So, I mean, in terms of, like, on a serious note, like, really managing it, it's really just... helping that individual or those set of people, if they vocalize that to you, just to understand that, you know, you're more than welcome to feel the way you feel, but I'm not in a position to do anything that doesn't make me feel happy. But equally, I'm not put here. I don't exist for your soul happiness. I exist for myself.
Absolutely.
And I have to do what works for me, and what my capacity allows. And if it doesn't allow for me to even consider what you've said, then I just won't. And I don't think we should feel under duress to do so.
Absolutely not.
Do you know what I mean? You do you and I'm going to do me.
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting because I think that's quite an absolute way of looking at it and kind of how we should look at things. But I'm going to speak for people that are in the transitions. So I've come from a place or a lifetime of pleasing others and setting an expectation that I will always do what you're supposed to, what you want me to do. I've kind of come from that from a very young age. So as an adult, now kind of knowing who I am, knowing what I will and won't do, when you start creating those boundaries for yourself, then other people have to learn what those new standards are. And that can be difficult.
Yeah.
Creating that absolute, nah, I'm not going to do that. People are like, what do you mean? That's what you always do. No?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to, how do I function now that you are now changing who you are?
Yeah.
And so I think it's an amazing question, Erica. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I think it's a real one and probably something that a lot of people deal with. So for me, and my experience is I'm quite honest about what I can and can't do. Sometimes there are certain relationships I'm still in transition from. So they're now learning a new Joss. And so they're now falling in line with this new Joss, and it might be quite difficult for them to navigate that transition. So I'm quite clear on why I'm doing these things. So if I'm not going to do something that you have asked me to do, or you've got this expectation that I feel is very unrealistic for who I am, I'll explain to you why that's unrealistic for me. I'll explain to you, you know, I really appreciate that this is your expectation, especially if it's a standard that I have set. I take accountability for that standard that I've set, that expectation that I've set. Because it's kind of my fault too. Yeah. I can't blame you for having that expectation. But that's kind of not who I am anymore. And this is the new me. And these are my standards. And this is what you can expect from me going forward. You may like that. great if you do. We can crack on. If you don't like it, you're probably going to take several seats to figure that out. And that is absolutely fine. You deserve to have your process. I have mine. Yeah. And that's quite hard to do. But it's really important that you stay true and stay firm in what you can and can't do. And be really transparent with the people that you love. And you'll find that with people who are dealing with you in that transitional phase, there will be some people that you'll realize, I don't really need to be fucks with you anymore. Like, I don't, we're not aligned because you can't deal with the new person that I am. And maybe that means we're probably you're not going to be in my life anymore. And that is okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's a process with that too. It's called grief.
We grow out.
But that is absolutely okay.
I think we do grow out of people.
Oh, for sure. It's part of the shedding process. It's not just, shedding isn't just also like figuring out what you want to do in life. That comes with also the people that you're around.
Yeah.
It comes with the environment that you cultivate for yourself, you know? So shedding permeates into everything that you do, I guess, at that stage in your life.
Sorry, just something that just popped up to me as well was with that question, I think. I went straight into like thinking about people expecting something like negative of you, or expecting you to be a certain self of yourself that maybe you're not. But also I think I also just thought about, what is it if someone's expecting something of you that's actually like an elevation or building of yourself, like you're doing this right now, but you could be doing this. And I think that there's also those positive expectations, which I would say I would be willing to hear, but it's still that idea of it being manageable and you having capacity still stands.
And it still needs to align with who you are.
Yeah, exactly. And what you can realistically do for yourself, and also what you want to do. But yeah, maybe you wouldn't be like, nah, forget you.
You think I could be Oprah? Leave.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as rough for someone like that, but yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I hope we've answered your question, Erica. Please let us know. If we haven't, you can email us at ournakedtruthspodcast@gmail.com, or you can holler at us in the DMs. At Our Naked Truths on Instagram. And also, we want to hear more questions from you all. So please, 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 please write in, send us a DM, and let's get more questions popping for our future episodes. So I'm going to ask you one final question.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's March. So this can be for today, it can be for the month, it even could be for the week or for the hour. It's up to you. But what would your affirmation be and why?
I actually had this question recently.
Why are people stealing my questions?
It's that time, it's Virgo full moon. So I think my affirmation for now, currently, and really for this month and for the next couple of months actually, is to really just stay committed.
Stay committed.
So it's really about staying committed to the things that I've promised to do and the things that I've taken on and said that I would do, but also the things that I want to do, either for myself or for other people, and really just committing to my growth and my plan for like the whole of this year. And I think if I really like continue to remind myself that I need to stay committed to this journey that I've put myself on, and keep active in all the different bits that are required to do that, from actually doing work but also to resting and to thinking and feeling and listening to myself and like my intuition, then I will be able to see through what it is that I need to see through.
Absolutely.
Staying committed is definitely a big one for me for a while, essentially. I'd say that's it.
That's perfect. In more ways than one. Like, I was sitting and just smiling because, as you know, our gentle reminder is give yourself permission to expand, which came from Alex Zell. But it also feeds into kind of the tips of how I, or kind of the action off the back of that. Because for me, there's boundaries as a part of that, to make sure that you create boundaries so you can expand. But to make sure that you work on your innate self-belief, to continue working on your purpose, to ensure that you're working on your gifts with intention and doing what you need to do daily to feel nourished. So it's like making sure whatever you are doing, you're active.
Yeah.
So whether you are actively resting, whether you're actively working on yourself,
absolutely.
Whether you're actively working on your projects, like whatever you're doing, be active in it,
straight
you
up,
know? Oh, so that was just a beautiful, nice synergy that just came out.
Yeah.
I appreciate
I do love to say that, get active, like I really believe it. And it's just, I think with anything, I've been saying a lot recently, particularly as well to my younger siblings, it's just like, whatever it is you want to do, it's all about just continuing to do it.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't do one and then chill and say, oh, this didn't work out, babe. You gotta have grit. Like you need to do it as a daily thing. Like, it's all practice, it's all learning, it's all content, it's all building. So if you're not building it, then, like, what are you really doing? Like, what's your plan? Because that's part of the plan. Doesn't matter what role you're in, if you're not constantly doing that thing, if you're not constantly active, then you're not going to see the fruits of that labour because you're not labouring.
Absolutely. Demonstrate that resilience, get it done. That doesn't mean that you're not able to rest, but
but you know, you have to find ways to really work on what you're doing, and it might take you a long time. It could be every week, it could be every month, whatever it is, it will build into something.
Absolutely. Chloe Bailey Abazi. Oh, how grateful we are to have you on this planet.
I'm super grateful to be here with all of you, to have people that inspire me every day. Which
mutual
is yourselves.
Thing, babes.
You
it's
too.
A mutual thing. Thank you so much. Sending you love.
Sending you love.
So I wanted to share this amazing piece from Alexandra L's book, Neon Soul, and it's called Resilience. Look at you, still standing after being knocked down and thrown out. Look at you, still growing after being picked and plucked and prodded out of your home. Look at you, still dancing and singing after being defeated and disassembled. Look at you, love, still here and hopeful after it all. You know, sometimes when you need to just remind yourself of all the things that you've come through and the fact that you're still here. You may not have reached the pinnacle. You may not have reached that moment that you've been working towards, but the fact that you're still here is something to be celebrated. Thank you, Alexandra L, for that beautiful piece. Until next time, loves, take care.